I want to be a worker.
For those of you getting here late, Beth. You can call out your wife.
No.
All right. If you have it, let's sing.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. And love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will
with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing weekend, the beautiful weather that you've given us day and night for us to be here to learn and to soak it all in, and each of us to learn what we're missing and what we need to work on, and the endurance that we all need to keep going each and every day to keep us strong and to uplift one another and find those out there that also need this message. And we say these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Just heard Romans 12, and we're going to just read a couple of verses there that are familiar to you as we talk about a philosophy that I want to instill within you. A philosophy, I call it a philosophy for servants, but it's really a philosophy of life that I've carried with me for many, many years. And but before I get there, I want to just say thank you to the board that invited me. I know Mark is primarily the one that contacts me, Mark Collins, and has done a lot of work in preparation for this, and there are others that are involved in that. I don't know all of the names. But just thank you for having me, and thank you all for the encouragement that you've been giving me. I appreciate that a whole lot. I am at a high when I leave here, and so thank you for that. Listen to the passage here as soon as I find my eyes. I lost my eyes.
Let me get my glasses here. And there was a blank spot on the tape.
Are they on the bench to your left, right there on that?
Oh, you got your glasses on.
Ben's got his contacts in.
Okay. Romans 12, just the first two verses. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, I'm not going to exegete this passage. I'm not going to work through this passage, but there's a concept here that I want you to see. And that is, you can go through a transformation. That word in the Greek is where we get our English word metamorphosis. It sounds like metamorphosis from the Greek term. In other words, a caterpillar can change its form into a beautiful butterfly. What is fascinating, though, is Paul says that happens by renewing your mind. It's amazing to me that your whole life can be changed just by changing what's going on in your thinking, in your mind. It has nothing to do with the external circumstances of your existence. It has everything to do with what's going on between your ears. And so you can be totally transformed into the beauty that God wants to see in you simply by renewing the mind. You know, when I was a senior in high school, my dad was a preacher, and he decided that he was going to move to St. Paul, Minnesota. It was mission work. And so he just upped and moved us. It was my senior year. I had a girlfriend. I was going to have a starting position on the football team. And he ups and moves us. And so that year, you know, I kind of pouted around because, oh, woe is me. You know, I didn't have all my friends. I had to make new friends and all of that. But when it came to graduation, I decided to make the most of it. Now, I went from a school that I had 21 in my class to a school where I had several hundred in my class. And there were so many of us graduating that they gave you, I think it was like 3 tickets to get to the graduation. You could only bring 3 family members because it's didn't have enough room. It was so big. And so they came around and they said, how many invitations do you want to send out? You know, you got those senior invitations. And kids would say, well, I'll take 2, 3, 6, maybe 10. They came to me and I said, I want 150. 150? Yeah. And I had figured out, I'm going to send graduation invitations back to Texas, where we live, to all my friends and then all my relatives. They're going to feel sorry for me and send me presents. And boy, did they. It worked out. They knew I was going to go to college. And so, you know, I got 3 of those little travel clocks that, you know, they go up like that. I got 3 of those. I got 4 wallets. No money in them, but I got 4 wallets. Cologne, every brand, I tell you, is great. It's wonderful. All the gifts that kept coming in and day out. But there was one gift that I received I didn't appreciate at the time. It was a book. Why would they send me a book? It was just a little bitty book, but it was a book. And I wasn't interested. I didn't even read it until sometime later, but I kept it. It was a book entitled, As a Man Thinketh. And it was written by a man who was called the first American psychologist, James Allen. And he wrote some great things, but listen to what he said. He said, man is made or unmade by himself. In the armory of thought, he forges the weapons by which he destroys himself. He also fashions the tools with which he builds for himself heavenly mansions of joy, strength, and peace. By the right choice and true application of thought, man ascends to the divine perfection. By the abuse and wrong application of thought, he descends below the level of the beast. That's amazing when you comprehend what he's saying. But you know what? James Allen is only repeating what the New Testament taught us centuries and centuries ago. You can renew, you can be transformed simply by changing the way you're thinking, renewing the mind. In Colossians 3 and verse 2, we're told to set our minds on things above, not on the things of the earth. To set means to put it in concrete, firmly establish it in your mind. In Philippians 4 and verse 2, Paul admonishes, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. To dwell means to take up residence. Live there. Let your mind dwell on these things. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, now to him who is able, that's God, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God is able to do more than you ask of him or think he might do, depending on what's happening on the inside of you. God can do extraordinary things with your life. He can do extraordinary things that he wants done through you, but it depends on you. What's going on? The power that's at work within you. Now, one thing I have learned in life is that you will always behave consistently with the way you think. If you get up in the morning and say, man, this is going to be a lousy day, guess what? It's going to be. That's what's going to happen. And so the way you think determines the success or failure of your life. The kind of attitude that you take into any ministry of God, into any activity within the church, into any aspect of your life, will determine whether you're a success or failure in those things. It's all happening from the inside out. Now, since this is true, I want to give you a philosophy of life that you can carry with you into your existence, into your relationships, especially into the way you live your life. It's just 4 points. It consists of 8 words, but I think you can carry these with you and you will see a transformation in your life. Number one is this: dream big. Dream big. I believe that life will give you whatever you're willing to accept. If you accept being mediocre, that's what you're going to be. Jesus said that by your standard of measure, or measurement, it will be measured to you. Mark 4 and verse 24. And Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 7, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And so if you accept being average and ordinary in your approach to classroom teaching or preaching or song leading or being an elder or on your job, if that's the way you see things, you accept that, then that's life is going to respond by making you average in those things. If you accept being unhappy in some task, then that's what life will deliver you, unhappiness. But I think God wants us to raise our expectations. He wants us to dream big. You remember that God set some tremendous goals before Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation of people. Just look at all the stars. They're going to number more than the stars. Abraham didn't even have kids at the time. Dream big, Abraham. He told the people of Israel, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. And those people, you're going to wipe out, although they're bigger than you are, they're fiercer than you are. Dream big. Aim higher. What if we set higher goals for ourselves and every day we were working towards those goals? And what if you set goals that transcend the ordinary? I tell you, you'll cease being an ordinary preacher. You'll cease being an ordinary song leader. You'll cease being an ordinary worker on the job when you set your goals high. Because you've made up your mind to dream beyond the ordinary. You're not going to settle for mediocrity any longer. One of my great heroes of the Old Testament is Caleb. And you remember that he was one of the 12 spies sent in to spy out the promised land. He was 40 years old when that happened. In Joshua 14, the promised land wars are pretty much over. And they're starting to disperse the land. And Caleb is now 85 years old. And he says to Joshua, give me this mountain over here. That's where the Anakim live. They're the fierce people. They live in fortified cities. That's what I want. Nobody wanted that. Caleb said, I want that. I'm still as strong and the Lord is with me and the Lord will fight the battles for me. There's a man that dreams big. James Allen said, you will become as small as your controlling desires or as big or great as your dominant aspirations. And so I say, dream big. Raise the level of expectations for yourself. If you are a brother and you have not led prayer or have not presented a lesson because you're afraid or because you think you don't know enough yet, dream big. Set greater expectations for yourself. And be God's servant. Number two, work hard. And I think in this day of recreation, we have to adjust our attitude about work. But if you're going to fulfill any goal, hard work is required. If you're going to be a great deacon or a great elder or a great Bible class teacher, instead of a mediocre one, that requires hard work. And we ought to make up our mind, get in the mindset of actually working with enthusiasm. And when you do that, you're going to be surprised of how much you can accomplish and how easy it becomes for you. Theodore Roosevelt, in a speech that was delivered in 1899 at the Hamilton Club in Chicago, said this. He said, I wish to preach not the doctrine of ignoble ease, but the doctrine of the strenuous life. That's the way he lived life. He worked hard. Only those who are willing to put in the time and the effort are the ones who are going to be successful at their task. When I was younger, I heard the story of J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney was a multimillionaire back in the day when there were a few millionaires. You've shopped at J.C. Penney stores all over the nation, and they're still there to this day. A reporter asked him one day, what do you attribute to all of your success? And Penny immediately said, just three words. Three words? What are they? And then some. What do you mean by that? Well, Penny said, throughout my life, I believed in hard work, and so I would do everything my boss would say